from a young Christian sister back in Tennessee. She sent me an email, and she said, I've always attended the Church of Christ, and I have always been to a church where they have Sunday school for the children. Now, I don't like the terminology Sunday school. I like to call it Bible class. But anyway, here's her question. She says, a friend of mine attends the Church of Christ in another town, and they don't have Sunday school for children. They don't believe it's right. They only have worship services for 2 hours. Can you let me know if there's anywhere in the Bible that says you cannot have Sunday school? I do know that a woman should be quiet in worship service, and I do know there's a verse in the Bible that I can go to know this. It's just the Sunday school thing that I'm confused on. It says, thanks for your help. Well, she was confused about it, needless to say, and there are a number of brethren that are confused about the Bible class issue, period. And this is something that I found out, you know, I used to be on Tuesdays. I think every time I've spoke has been on Tuesday, and that's been great because nobody had a chance to do my material. But as I get to Thursday, I find, just like Charles stated last night, you could say, see, tape 1, tape 5, tape 7, you'll get my whole lesson. And that's what it seems like, doesn't it, Charles, as further you get down into the week. But we're going to bring up a few things that has not been touched on. As I stated, I got this email from this sister in Tennessee. Then I got the letter from Jack, and sort of fit hand in glove. I think those are two issues we need to continually look at. Quite often we think about Bible class, and we think, well, yeah, that's a non-topic. That is not something we're concerned about, because it's just something that's been going on for, seems like, forever. I've been in Bible class, you know, ever since I've been around the Lord's church. I've been in Bible class. But I believe we need to address the issue about Bible classes too. It was an old issue, and as was brought out, I believe Brother Richard brought it out as he was talking about the antis. There are some who are anti-Bible class. And yet the Bible, and there's a reason for that perhaps, at least they think so. But as you look at that, and you go and you look through the Bible, does the Bible tell us that we must have Bible class prior to worship services? It doesn't. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say you must have, prior to worship services, have a Bible class. It doesn't say that. And so perhaps that's where they're getting their information. As we look at that, though, it does seem like a silly question. But as we look at the New Testament Scriptures, we see that there is an office as such, as teacher, mentioned throughout the New Testament, isn't there? There is an office as such. In Ephesians 4th chapter and verse 11, the Scriptures say he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Over in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, and also in verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, the gift of healings, and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. And then it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? We see indeed that the Bible does say that there are teachers when it comes to teaching, when it comes to the Lord's church, that there are to be teachers. We know that there are teachers, as it says, just as we talk about the elders and the evangelists, there are also those that are called teachers. And some we know that try to teach it, can't teach. We had that in the public schools. We do have that in the Lord's church. They have no idea how to put together a lesson, but they do try. But we need to realize that the Bible does authorize teachers. In fact, it also authorizes students. It goes pretty easy to understand, isn't it? It teaches that in Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicated unto him that teaches in all good things. So he had a teacher who taught him, and now what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to teach others, aren't they? Each and every one of us are to try to teach others. And then in Acts the 13th chapter, in verse 1, it says, now there were in the church, it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and it talks about Barnabas and Simeon. So there are teachers, there are students. The ones that are taught are students. The next question then is, where is the teaching to be taking place? And how many do we have to teach at a time? Well, first of all, let's take a look at the when and the where the teaching needs to be done. Where is the teaching to take place? Again, the Bible does not specifically say that you must build a church building in order to do teaching, does it? It doesn't say, and I remember growing up in the 60s, some of you grew up before that, but quite a few are getting younger than me anymore. But I remember when they stuffed about 20 college students in a Volkswagen Bug. You could have stuck the church in a Volkswagen Bug and had Bible class, couldn't you? It does not specifically say where we are to teach, but it does tell us a lot of different places. It doesn't say we specifically have to have a building. It doesn't say that we have to do it in a private home. It doesn't say if it's supposed to be in an open tent. It doesn't say specifically where we have to, but it does tell us a lot of different places where teaching went on during the New Testament. In Acts the 5th chapter, in verse 42, the scriptures say, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They taught Jesus Christ. That's something we need to grab a hold of and keep a hold of. Where were they to teach? Well, it says they taught in the temple, and they taught in the homes. This verse teaches daily, 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 daily teaching, doesn't it? It doesn't teach just Sunday teaching and Wednesday teaching, does it? Brethren, I believe we're failing very much so in the church today, where we think that the only place teaching can take place is when we can come together as a church. We need to wake up before it's too late. The Bible again teaches that daily teaching is something that we need to be available to do. In Ephesians 6 chapter and verse 4, we need to realize also that we don't just leave it up to the Bible class teacher to do the teaching of our children and the teaching of us. In Ephesians 6 chapter and verse 4, it says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." If you're bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you're teaching them the Bible. Not how to play baseball or basketball or golf. Our number one responsibility as parents is to teach our children how to go to heaven. The disciples taught in the temple. And we know that as we come together here, we have a lot larger space in order to teach, don't we? Than perhaps that they would have in a home. In a home, you may not have enough room to fit 40 or 50 people in, unless you're an Indian, a hut that looks like it's going to hold 5 people and you got 50 people in it. But it's different here in the States. And in Acts 18th chapter and verse 26, we see that we have one person began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So we see a home setting. They took them unto him, and in them, and they studied with him kind of on a one-on-one or a two-on-one type of situation. And so we have that happening. And yet we also see examples of where there was a large crowd, perhaps over 4,000 or 5,000, because we know of sometimes when the teaching took place that there was conversions of over 3,000, don't we? And so that's what we need to get in our mindset, that where we need to teach, there need to be students to be taught, and whether it's a one-on-one or one-on-3,000, it needs to be done. And not necessarily just when we come together. It needs to be done whenever the opportunity presents itself. Where can the different times, the different places? The Bible, again, the New Testament is full of different examples of different times of the day that the Bible was taught, different places it was taught. We can take a look at those. Of course, Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15 says, "Go into all the world." All the world starts in your home. It does not have to start outside your home. We need to realize it starts in our home and then goes out. But it also teaches us that we have examples of teaching taking place by a riverside in Acts the 16th chapter verses 12 through 15. We have teaching taking place in prison. In Acts the 16th chapter, beginning verse 25 and going through verse 34, in the synagogue, in Acts 17:17, in the midst of Mars Hill, again in Acts the 17th chapter and verse 22, in a castle, in Acts the 21st chapter, verse 37, before the council, in Acts the 23rd chapter and verse 1, before kings, in Acts the 26th chapter and verse 1, and Romans 16:15 tells us it was done in houses. Is there any other place that you need to teach? Any place that we have the opportunity, we need to be teaching, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. Amen. We have established the fact that we do have the authority to teach. We have the authority to teach in different locations and at different times. But we need to know what is to be taught. And that is the problem that we're running into today. When we take a look at that, we think of something that like this. We take a look at this topic and we talk about the battle for the Bible class. We're coming together for Bible study, aren't we? At 9:30 on Sunday morning, which is a scriptural time, in case you were wondering. 7 o'clock, you know, on Wednesday night is the scriptural time. If you're not there, you might have to, you know, look at the scriptures and make sure. Aren't we coming together for Bible class? Sometimes, brethren, I wonder what we're coming together for, because so many times the Bible is not taught once we get there. Many today are doing studies, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God when they come together. Some are coming together to view films, like one called Bruce Almighty. Now, maybe you haven't heard that. Others are coming together and they're watching Mayberry RFD. Perry, you like Mayberry RFD? Probably I did. I loved Opie as I was growing up. I liked Aunt Bee even. But some are coming together and they're studying Mayberry RFD and calling it a Bible class. You might think that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? We'll get into those a little bit more detail in just a few moments. But perhaps what we need to look at, why this is happening, is we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say, perhaps we're the reason that this is happening. We need to realize, of course, this congregation has elders, and elders, that's a great responsibility. We can take and give that responsibility of choosing a Bible class material to a deacon, but elders, it's your responsibility to know what's in that Bible class material. And it's something that you should take very seriously. We should know what's being taught in the cradle class all the way to the adult class and every class in between. Not just assume that someone's a good person and they're going to have a good class material. That's not necessarily so. The deacon in charge of Bible class material does what? Well, the teacher comes to him and says, you know, next quarter's coming up. This is the material I want. I've heard it's been used it in the past. It's got to be good. Or perhaps we'll take a look at another congregation we visited, and they say that material is great. You ought to use it. That does not necessarily fly. Just because we've used it for 40 years doesn't mean we don't need to look at it again and see what's being taught in those types of classroom settings. We need to understand that just because someone else is doing it does not necessarily make it good material. Well, when it comes to children, and I think this is where the red flags usually fly first. And perhaps the move away from studying the Bible started innocently in the Lord's body. In trying to make material easier for the children, easier to understand, we started incorporating what I term gimmicks. Now, this is my opinion. You can do with it what you want. But my opinion is that songs that started using actions such as marching and shouting and clapping and then puppeteering, I believe these are some of the things that started our classrooms turning sour. I realize that the young people have a different mindset than we do, and we need to teach them at their level. But we need to make certain that we don't get caught up with the gimmicks in order to teach them. Because what has happened? As I look at what's happened in Bible class, is those same children that were teaching at 5 and 6 years old with the puppets, we were teaching those things with the shouting and the clapping, have all of a sudden turned into teachers today. And they said, well, we did it when we were 5 and 6, and then we started teaching it to these younger children when they're 12 and 13. Now we're going to do what? We're going to just bring it up into the adults. And so we have these, we have ministers of puppetry. Now, I can look through my Bible all day and not find that. But unfortunately, I believe that's where a lot of this started. It started very innocently. It was okay then. Why is it not okay now? That's what they teach. We need to be careful about Vacation Bible School. And you say, oh, surely not. Sometimes I think that's a misnomer, don't you? They should just call it vacation, not Bible school. Because you look at so many of this, there's no Bible taught. I think it's a misnomer to call the Christian Chronicle the Christian Chronicle, too. But in their paper in August, they had an article about the Alta Mesa Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Had a great big front page article, and then you continue on and read more about it as you went through that, I don't even want to call it a news magazine. But they talked about how great a Vacation Bible School these people had. Well, I love to surf the internet and see what other congregations are doing. So I thought, well, I'll just type in their address and see what that was all about, because they're going to have more information about it, you know, on their website. Well, you can go up on their website and you can watch a full-blown musical that was called Vacation Bible School, with all the cowboys that were with the white hats and the cowboys with the black hats. But it was scriptural because they used a cappella music. I looked at that, and if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. I started watching it. I mean, they wrote the whole thing. They certainly did, because it certainly didn't come from the Bible. We need to be concerned about Vacation Bible School and get back to teaching the Bible. I remember years ago, and my children say, when the dinosaurs roamed, I was excited to get a gold star for a memory verse. Do you remember those days, Charles? Charles always got blue, though. He just got them partially right. But for some reason, we think our children need more today. We say, well, we got to keep their minds occupied. They need more stimulus, don't they? Do they? I think they need to be taught the Bible. Our children have grown up, and as was mentioned last night, they used to tell it, if you don't have a Bible, call up a member of the church, they know the Bible. I remember my great-grandfather, who I was named after, this one person said, you don't have a Bible, you can call up John Schaefer, and y'all just put my hand on him and swear to tell the truth, because he knew the Bible. We got away from it, didn't we? As mentioned again last night. Why? We are told to teach, not entertain. Amen. We wanted classes, not only for the young people, so they could understand and they could be growing up and getting things that they needed, but we also took a look at, well, you know, we're having all this new stuff for the kids, why not for the adults? And unfortunately, we quite often follow the direction of the denominations. Not just those who are call themselves the Church of the Lord, but we'll look at denominations and seeing what they're doing. In fact, not only that, we'll say, well, you know, we're looking for classes on marriage, you know, and on the home. And I remember back in the 80s again, when about the only thing you could find on classes on the home were by denominations. And so we got these denominational tapes, and we brought them in and showed them as videos on our young marriage classes. Well, it wasn't like we were bringing the speaker in. We weren't. He was there. Why don't we have the Pope come in and teach us something? Well, he's just teaching on that particular topic that's good. Brethren, we need to wake up. We need to take a look at all the material again. We need to be concerned about our Bible camps, though, as I regress a little bit. Our Bible camps have turned in again to be nothing more so much of the time than a time of entertainment. And that's all they are. We continually try to entertain our children at Bible camp, at VBS, and then we get them, and then they say, well, why can't we have that in the Lord's church? I remember years ago, a young man came to me and he said, is it okay if I sing this Bible camps at worship services? And I told him flat out, I said, if they're scriptural at Bible camp, you should be able to sing them when the church comes together. But if they're not scriptural at Bible camp, we shouldn't be singing them there either. But yet we do. Have you heard some of the Bible camp songs? Not even close to being scriptural. Don't have it. It's I'm okay, you're okay on some of those songs, isn't it? We need to make certain that just because a sound congregation is sponsoring this Bible camp or VBS, we need to know what's been going on at both of those and not just leave it in their hands and saying, well, we know it's going to be okay. We need to investigate what's going on. Fellowship with our youth, we talk about, and you talk about your youth going down to a youth gathering in Memphis. Did you investigate? Just because you know the person, we need to investigate and make certain that just, well, we're having summer activities, and so all of these congregations are getting together, and we're going to have our youth group here one Wednesday night, youth group there one Wednesday night. I did a check again on the internet, and I looked at a sound congregation that was involved with that, and then as I looked at one of these congregations that was involved, and looked, and I thought, wait a minute, this congregation is so liberal, why would you want your children to go and be a part of that? You know, a website can tell a lot about a congregation, just like bulletins in the back at foyers can tell a lot about a congregation when you walk in. Investigate, investigate, investigate. I can't say that enough. We need to investigate what's going on at these Bible camps. Again, the adults. I said we weren't happy with just entertainment for our children. But we're not happy with just coming together as adults and studying the Bible. Go to BarneyFife.com and find out. That's not a Barney Fife website. That is a quote-unquote Church of Christ website. Well, why do we have Barney Fife? It's Bible class. Well, guess what? We can invite our family, our friends, and the community. Come on over. We're going to watch Andy Mayberry. Mayberry or what? Mayberry RFD. We gonna what? Doesn't that sound like good fun? I enjoy watching Mayberry RFD. I love that those old shows. I enjoyed them. We're going to do it in Bible class. I mean, Aunt B is going to teach us something really good in Bible class. Wait a minute. Woman's not supposed to usurp authority to teach a man. Wait. We won't call it a Bible class. We'll call it something else, maybe. We're going to have Aunt B come and teach you some really good messages, Barney Fife, Sheriff Andy. And believe it or not, this is not something that was started in denominations. Many times we take a look at what's going on in the brotherhood and the things that were brought into the Lord's body, we found in what? We found in denominations. And we just cleaned it up a little bit and brought it into the Lord's church. Well, this supposedly was started in a part of the Lord's body. Barney Fife, congregation in Twickenham Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama, started this entertainment. I refuse to call it Bible study. They started this entertainment in June of 1998. Some of you may not have realized it until today. It's been going on for 6 years. 6 years. Has it caught on? I'll guarantee you it's caught on. And it hasn't caught on in just the church. Denominations are just lapping it up too. Because what? It brings in numbers. And we're so excited about numbers, we don't care what's taught. That's a shame, brethren, for all of us to even think about that. Joey Fan, who is one of the creators of this type of study, tells us he even uses music by the Dillards. Well, I can tell you, Tuesday night, we might have played some of the Dillard songs out at Avis's, but they're certainly not appropriate for Bible class. But Joey Fan says we use them. And I'll tell you right now, I've never heard the Dillards use any a cappella singing. It's always with a banjo and a guitar and a mandolin. Well, we're going to use it for Bible class. The darlings, well, let's see. We'll bring in a little bit of lemonade because we want everybody to feel comfortable in order to make it more relaxing for those who attend. That's a direct quote from Joey Fan. They also end each class, guess what? Not with something from the Bible. They end each class with a quote from a Mayberry RFD show. Why don't they just call it entertainment? Why don't they separate themselves from the church and go out and call themselves a community church? Community churches do that, don't they? Well, of course, again, according to Joey, there are many believers in many denominations who enjoy this type of study also. There you go. He told us, didn't he? He believes those in denominations to be just like the rest of them. There's not a nickel's worth of difference, and I'll guarantee you, brethren, there isn't. Not at all. But if Annie and Barney are not entertaining enough, you know, that's kind of oldies, you know. That's like watching Ozzy and Harriet. That's kind of old stuff. Well, let's bring it up to date. We'll modernize it, won't we, Wayne? We'll modernize it. And I had an interview, an email correspondent with a preacher down in Arkansas, because Wayne had said, John, here's some information for you. I said, okay. So I had an email correspondent going back and forth with this preacher from Arkansas. They don't watch Barney and Andy. They come together and watch movies like Bruce Almighty. Now, if you don't know what Bruce Almighty is, it is one of the most disgusting shows that you would ever hope to watch. I haven't watched it. All I have to do is go up online again and do a review on it. It is distasteful. It is sacrilegious. And anything else you can name. Brethren, we shouldn't be allowing our children to watch this. And guess what? In their bulletin, they said no children will be eligible to come into this classroom and watch this show because it's R-rated. Well, according to the preacher, said, when I quizzed him on this, he said, well, this isn't Bible class. This is a group that just gets together and they call themselves a think group. Well, I guarantee you they're not thinking when they view shows like that. But yet, what are they doing? They're doing it in a Bible class setting. Bruce Almighty. Oh, but it's a think group. That's different. What else has happened? Well, our teachers are so busy. And we realize that. Is anybody here not busy? Other than postal employees? We are busy. We are involved in, brethren, again, I believe we're involved with too many things outside the Lord's church. I used to enjoy playing basketball, and I would have been right up here with Jay and grinning from ear to ear, even 2 years ago. But fortunately, I had a knee that went bad on me, and I had a little bit of surgery, and so now I can say, I'm sorry, I can't play anymore. I love basketball. In fact, almost every afternoon during my lunch period, I go over to the school and I play with the kids at the school out on the playgrounds. And they expect me to show up to make fun of me. I enjoy being around the children, but brethren, we need to get back to teaching our children what's the important thing in our lives, and it should not be extracurricular activities. When something stops our children from attending the Lord's body, we need to tell them that's going to stop. Those school activities are not as important as their soul. Oh, well, it's just one time. It's just two times. And then they grow up, be adults. Well, it's just one time, just two times. And we wonder why they're not faithful. We need to teach our children that coming to class is important. But as we get together with our teachers being so busy, we've all of a sudden, you know, got away from having that Bible and teaching out of it. We set it aside and we call our publishing companies like Sweet Company, 21st century Christian or gospel advocate. And we say, we want some Bible class material. And you know what? They're glad to go with that old cash register and go, cha-ching. Whatever you want, we got it. Did you realize that a lot of the Bible class material, again from our supposedly good companies, such as Sweet, such as 21st Christian, and such as Gospel Advocate, up until the year at least 2000, as far as I got the information on, is written by denominations, and then we have the editorial rights to take their name off and put our name on and not change anything whatsoever? You say, oh, well, that can't be happening. Document it. It's happening. As of 2000, Sweet Company was using material by Group Publishing Incorporated of Loveland, Colorado, which is filled with Calvinistic teaching. 21st Century Christian Company is using material from David C. Cook Ministries. And then their one book, Life Links, in their high school teacher's book, Fall 2000, page 46, teaches that we are all born sinners. But it's from our publishing group, our Bible school material. And then we have the 1992 Gospel Advocate was still buying material from Scripture Press of Wheaton, Illinois. And if you're not familiar with them, they are a Baptist publishing company. We cannot be careful enough when we're choosing Bible class material, whether it's for our young students or for the adult classes. The question then is, what are we to use? What should we be using in our teaching? Well, the Bible tells us what to teach, doesn't it? In case you don't remember, I'll remind you now. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 3, Paul writes, Timothy, he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Guess what? Even at that time, there was another doctrine being taught, wasn't there? Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 14, says that we henceforth no more be like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Brethren, we pick up Bible class material because it's all packaged up for us. Guess what? There's a lot of stuff in there waiting to deceive us. Waiting to deceive us. It's easy to understand as we take a look at the Bible. It says, don't teach as doctrine those things that are not found in the Scriptures. Pretty simple, isn't it? And don't go changing with every wind that blows. And unfortunately, I think we've changed with a lot of winds. What do we teach? That's an easy one for me. In Acts, the first chapter in verse 1, the former treatise that I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Well, what are we supposed to teach, Paul? Well, how about teaching Jesus all that he did and all that he taught? Is that hard to understand? In Acts, the fifth chapter, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What's the words of life? About Jesus, isn't it? About the gospel. In Acts, the fifth chapter, verse 42, we see that they, again, as we read earlier, daily and in the temple and in the house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Teach and preach Jesus. In Acts the 15th chapter and verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Again, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. And we could go on and on and on and on. Brethren, what can we use to teach? If you get a copy of the information that I presented to Jack, you'll see that there's three or four different ones that I suggest that we can use. But as I state with all of it, no matter what curriculum you're looking at to help you in your study, beware that some have good points and some have bad points. What's wrong with the church just picking up the Bible and writing their own curriculum right out of the Bible? Brethren, what we need to be teaching is the Bible. And we need never, ever fall into the trap of teaching entertainment. Thank you for your time.